Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me is William Miller, an independent game developer.
How you doing there, Blake Buck?
I'm doing good. We've also got Justin Ficarata, a monkey for Freeverse Software.
Monkey. Only if I could be one of the monkeys with the red eyes.
Those are the best. And this is your best damn podcast ever, episode 4. Alright, this week in the news, Guitar Hero 2 on Xbox 360 in 2007, Doom on Xbox Live Arcade, Microsoft / Ensemble Studios reveals Halo Wars, and Peter Jackson on a totally separate Halo-related game and movie. All this and more on this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever.
Alright, so I guess I'll take this first one. Guitar Hero 2 on 360 in 2007. It looks like Xbox 360 gamers won't be rocking around the Christmas tree this year. Red Octane, a representative, told GameSpot that recently announced Guitar Hero 2 for the Xbox 360 will be released sometime in 2007, significantly trailing the PlayStation 2 version of the game, scheduled to hit retail this November. So, the game is also going to include an Gibson Explorer-style guitar controller, which is white and matches the nice Microsoft color scheme. It was previewed at X06 in Barcelona, Spain. It will also be wired. So for all of those, all you guys out there that want to rock out with no wires, it's going to have a wire. Sorry.
Lame.
So the Xbox 360 version of Guitar Hero will contain all the same content as the PS2 version, as well as exclusive extra songs that will be made available for download on Live Marketplace.
Here's my question. Will it have the Halo theme to rock out on?
Dude, I want the Halo theme, and I want Master Chief wailing on the guitar as a character.
William Miller, make it happen. Go.
See, I don't really understand why there's this delay. When I was there, when the PlayStation 2 version wrapped, it didn't seem like the PlayStation or the Xbox 360 version was going to take all that much longer to develop. Maybe they hit some snafus since I was there, but I mean, it was like, we'll get it done 3 months or whatever, and it wasn't that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the deal is over here, but I do very much like the Gibson Explorer style guitar. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, because my conundrum at the moment as an owner of both PS2 and 360 is, do I buy the PS2 version when it comes out in November, or do I buy the 360 version and just wait till 2007 to?
Well,
rock
do you already
out
have an X?
That I do.
Yeah, for those of you who already have the game, the first one, go pick up the PlayStation 2 version. It won't be nearly as expensive, I'm sure. Don't quote me on that. It won't be as expensive as if you bought it with the Axe. And for PS2, then when the Xbox 360 version comes out, go pick up that new Axe and that new game, because the 360 version is awesome. I've seen it. I've seen the assets for it.
Why is it so much better?
Well, I mean, all the assets are better. Like the venues are better. The characters are higher poly. It's higher resolution, obviously. So
okay, but while you and me might go buy two copies of Guitar Hero 2, your average customer is not going to do that.
Just like everybody else is moving away from old gen consoles, you know, Harmonix is doing the same thing. I mean, there are a couple other things in the pipe that are PS2 related. But, you know, I don't think you're going to see Guitar Hero 3 on PlayStation 2, so you might as well go buy that 360 Axe right now. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah, let's not forget that when you buy it for the 360, there's 1,000 of those sweet, sweet gamer points awaiting your mad skills. Because
Somebody explain the gamer point thing to me. I don't really understand how it works.
Okay, the gamer score is, like, every Xbox profile has a gamer score associated with it. And as you do certain achievements in the game, it will unlock gamer score points. So basically, each Xbox 360 title can award up to 50 achievements and 1,000 total points. And every live arcade game can award up to 12 achievements with 200 points. So, like, what you will see is, the more games people play, the higher their score gets, and it's a brilliant metagame, because it's getting, you know, people to play games they never would have played, You know, I'm sure it's like really increasing rentals. And because let me tell you right now, since I have gotten my 360, I am a complete utter whore for gamer score points.
Well, tell me this.
So what do you use them for?
What's that?
Dude, it's like a dick measuring contest. I've got a bigger
it pretty much
Xbox
is.
Dick than you.
Exactly. my Xbox dick is 2,065 points at the moment, and I know that that's nothing.
I mean, can you trade them in for stuff or?
Wait, Miller, you're like, what? I got the high score. What's the point? Can I? No, you just get high score and you are king. There's nothing beyond that.
Because here's some examples of achievements for those that don't have 360s. For instance, take Dead Rising has achievements for, you know, doing cool out of the way things like, you know, getting 100% accuracy with a certain kind of gun. And then there's straightforward ones like, you know, killing a certain number of zombies. Like Robotron has achievements for, you know, getting the first place high score in the list. You know, passing wave 5, passing wave 10. There's some that are ridiculous, like passing wave 100. And each one is a certain, you know, point value associated with it. So it's cool. So you're playing for points, but you can also play for achievements. Like, for instance, you know, you could have a racing game that has an achievement for completing a race driving backwards the whole way, for instance. So they can do totally off-the-wall stuff that increases the life of the game. Hmm. You know, and you can award gamer pictures for certain achievements that are really hard.
As a person who buys a lot of video games, can I just get achievement points just by putting the game in and never playing it? Because that's what I want.
Well, I think there are some real no-brainer achievements, like Crystal Quest for Xbox Live Arcade. That is a game I specifically bought because I heard it was 200 easy points. And I played like a game, it took me about 5 minutes, and I got about like 150 of them. So this is
really interesting because like, if you can't really, I mean, Microsoft has this system on lockdown. So I mean, PlayStation 3 and the Wii, if it has some kind of online marketplace, they're going to have to
license it.
Implement
yeah, they'd
something.
Have to license it through Microsoft.
Yeah.
Because it's such a...
Because I mean, you...
Like, if you were to do something similar, it would be a blatant ripoff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, also, I mean, it makes it sort of a challenge for developers because you've got the Xbox Marketplace and the kind of micropayment structure and then this point system. You can't port that, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't port that metagame that you kind of get for free on Xbox Live Arcade or Xbox Live.
Right. Let me tell you right now, I was in the store and I bought some DS games and I had to hesitate. Because I knew that as I was playing them, I would get no gamer points for them. I'm serious. Like that's what goes through my head now. And it's like I'm actually thinking about going back and renting like Madden 06, you know, like and like NBA Live 06, just because I heard that they're 1,000 easy points each. That's how much of a whore for gamer points I am.
You are dumb. Mm. You know that? you're a whore, you're dumb. Anyway.
Okay.
All right, Joseph, Fick takes this next article. Go.
All right, so speaking of whoring myself out for points on Xbox Live Arcade, Doom is on Xbox Live Arcade, which is 200 easy points, by the way. But it has been released. actually, a pretty big surprise, actually. Last week they said they were going to release a major franchise on Live Arcade Marketplace. And...
You know, I really thought it would have been Marathon.
Yeah, well, I mean, people were hoping for that too, but it is actually Doom, and it's awesome.
Like, Bug, why do you hope it was going to be Marathon?
You've never played Marathon in your life.
Dude, all right, Blake Bug, listen to me. If Marathon ever hits the shelf on XBLA, you are going to play it all the way through, or I'm going to beat your ass. Listen, you owe no, our
look,
old
I
listeners.
I know. It's coming. I'll eventually get to it.
All right, so if it comes out on XBLA, you got to play it all the way through.
We'll see. Uh-huh. I'm just hoping it doesn't. All right. So what else about this? Does the Doom have a multiplayer component?
Yes, it does. It has split screen and it has Xbox Live also multiplayer, only up to four players. That's all the original Doom supported. And then
that's awesome, though, man. You get all that for $10.
Both split screen and Xbox Live offer deathmatch and cooperative.
Oh.
So it's and for ten bucks, it's awesome.
Seriously, Microsoft is just on the ball.
They're on the ball. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I didn't even download a demo of Doom. I just went home, I saw Doom, and bought it. Done.
All right, so another Microsoft. This is a big week for Microsoft, guys, in case you haven't noticed all these 360 articles, because there was this big, for those of you who don't know, there was a big, oh, wait, you already said this, didn't you, Wayne Miller?
What?
About the X06?
Well, I mentioned it in passing, but yeah, X06 was their big, no,
it's
their
big European.
No, I just learned what this is like 2 days ago, so I'm going to act like an expert. Yeah, the European event in Barcelona, and a lot of big news. Blake Buck, go.
All right, so Microsoft / Ensemble Studios has revealed Halo Wars. That's right, Halo RTS. Everybody taking a gasp. So, I guess this is Microsoft's attempt
that
to
was
branch.
Me gasping in silence.
This is their attempt to branch out their, you know, the Halo franchise and other mediums. Now they've got the guys, Ensemble Studios, which was behind Age of Empires, is going to be doing Halo Wars. So they showed a little trailer. It was all CG, but it looked pretty cool. So everybody's hyped up anyway. I love how we get so excited over no game footage. It's like that Killzone 2 trailer.
Well,
remember
this,
on the PS3?
This is Blur doing the trailer, don't forget.
That's true.
They did StarCraft, StarCraft Brood War. They do all the Blizzards. They did what else?
They had a great Dawn of War. They had a great short film they produced too.
Who is it? Who is it called?
Blur Studios.
Blur.
Their company specifically geared towards cutscene animation for games.
For games? Wow, that's awesome!
Yeah.
Holy crap!
Blur is really cool.
Dude,
they rock my face.
I want to be like Hello Kitty, Kitty Spangle Solitaire, and pay them for like the ultimate trailer. That'd be sweet. All right, so Halo Wars takes place before Halo 1 during the UNSC's first deadly encounter with the Covenant. They didn't really say anything about the storyline. Not sure about playing as the Covenant, but we'll assume. I mean, we better be able to play as the Covenant. Come on now. No official release date yet, but probably somewhere around the Halo 3 launch at next fall. Somewhere around there, right? Maybe even, do you think this will come out before or after Halo 3? What do you guys think?
I don't know. Halo 3's been in development for a while.
Well, my guess is before, and maybe they'll use it as a tie-in to, you know, or kind of like a teaser for Halo 3, kind of like the way Enter the Matrix was a teaser for Matrix Reloaded.
Man, how much would that suck? Your game is a trailer teaser for another game.
Like, your piece of art is a publicity stunt for some other thing.
Yeah, man.
Somebody put their blood and, you know, hours of their life into Halo Wars, and it's just the prelude.
Yeah. It's just an advertisement.
I bet it's still going to be cool, though. And the coolest part about this, too, is the outrage on all the Mac gaming forums.
Oh, really? I miss those.
Yeah, you're not missing much. But like, I remember when Microsoft bought. I remember when Microsoft bought Bungie to begin with. Like, everyone's outcry, and I had a part in that. I was like, dude, what the hell? This sucks. Bungie
Tunster Dennis was mad.
Blah, yeah, Tunster Dennis. Remember the story he told about Apple almost buying Bungie? It was a matter of days or something like that.
Look, Apple, you're
done.
You
know what though? Looking back, I am so glad Apple did not buy Bungie.
Oh, seriously?
Because they would have killed Halo. Yep.
They would have screwed it up just like the rest of the Mac gaming industry. For those of you who are on PCs and you're thinking about getting a Mac, don't buy it for gaming because it's crap.
Well, actually, now, Macs make good gaming machines if you put Windows on it.
That's true. If you put Windows on it, that's true.
And you can...
But, Mac gaming scene is trash.
Yeah.
Trash.
It's pathetic.
All our listeners are like, no, Gandor! I'm going to send you a private message on the forum!
But yeah, it was like, you know, like first time when Bungie bought Microsoft. I mean, when Microsoft bought Bungie, I took part in the rioting. But now I'm just sitting back and I'm just laughing because Mac gamers are pathetic.
You know what would be really great?
They're all crying sellout.
That's our entire audience right now.
Well, I don't know.
I love the fact that I am insulting our entire audience by saying that, dude. People are saying like Microsoft is whoring the Halo franchise now by making an RTS. I'm like, screw you. They made one game. It's gonna be awesome, and it's gonna be on Xbox 360. So eat it.
I've got my suspect eye on that ITV too. See, like
ITV.
What's gonna happen? No, here's what's gonna happen. You ready? ITV is going to be
Hang on. ITV is Apple's sort of set top box for the living room for their Apple iTunes Music Store.
Yes, that's
going to be coming out in January.
So I think they're going to make games run on that thing, and it's absolutely going to suck ass. Like they're going to announce it, and it's going to be like, oh, you can run games on this ITV, and it's going to fail miserably.
Well, I remember seeing a post about that on one of the forums. Like, you know, will ITV lead into the next Apple gaming console? No.
The end next? What was the first?
Absolutely not. I mean, the next gaming console that is from Apple.
Now see, look. Apple has the perfect system. They have the perfect user base for great games. They've got people with all the same computer, with all the same hardware. They don't have to worry about any. They know what graphics card's going in there. They know what RAM most people have, and all of that stuff is known to them. They could make first party titles, and they would work, right? They would work like any other Mac application works. It just works, and it's great. You wouldn't have to worry
I mean, just look at the last great Mac game, which in my opinion was the Quake 3 test, which was released on... I'm serious. I am dead serious. It was released on Mac first, to everybody's dismay, because the Mac is such a stable... It's such a stable platform with such easy, tight, systems that they were able to get the best performance testing off of that, they being id Software. And, when it was Quake 3 test, I remember it ran like a charm. It was beautiful. And that's like the last fun I've ever had gaming on my Mac. Ever.
Even your own game, no fun.
Yeah, no fun. Yeah, if you want to game on the Mac, sucks. You got to get Kill Monty. That's the only option for you guys.
Freeverse.com/KillMonty. Justin Fick actually makes $45 every time you guys buy that $30 game. Yeah. Or no, it's like a $12 game. What am I saying?
Yeah, it's $12.
How much do you actually make in royalties from that game?
So I make 400% royalties.
Oh, got it.
Done. All right. You know what Apple should do? Just to close this topic up, what Apple should do to really fix their problems? They've always kind of had problems with the gaming industry. They're not really fostering it right. They should just hire the three of us. Mac gaming would be in a renaissance day.
We would be Mac gaming evangelists. Oh, yeah. They used to have them back in the OS 9 days, and they all went over to where, Blake Buck?
Microsoft.
Exactly.
Rich Hernandez, we're looking at you.
Yep. No, that was a smart move, Rich Hernandez.
I know. I would have done the same thing.
And you know what? I'm going to say this for the record right now. Given a choice between getting hired by Apple to make games for the Mac and making games for the 360.
Oh.
Sorry, Apple.
It's not even a hard choice at all.
360. Go. Blam.
See, but not that they couldn't be better. See, the problem that I have is not that it sucks over there. It's that there's such potential for a quality product they're just missing the ball on. You know, we say this over and over and over again on our show, but it's just the truth, man.
Yeah, we're just beating this into the ground. Let's keep moving. So, Peter Jackson, what's his power, Justin Ficker? Somebody, because I hadn't read it.
All right, well, Peter Jackson, during XO6, has announced that he's working on a totally separate Halo-related game movie thing. He said it's based on Halo. It's not Halo 4, and it's not the film. He said it's based on the world of Halo, and it will not be a traditional game.
Dude, I know exactly what this is. Are you ready? I know exactly what this is.
Uh-oh.
It's Halo the Ride. No, man, that's it. That's what it is. It's Halo the Ride. You put on your 3D glasses and you're Master Chief sitting in that chair with 20 other Master Chiefs riding around in Halo Land. That's what it is.
All shooting out of the same warthog. Yep.
Oh, man, if that was it, if you called that mess, oh, my God, it would be over with.
You heard it here. If it's Halo the Ride, William Miller, best damn podcast ever, called it.
You get the rights to it.
I get the rights to it. I'm done with this power. No more Halo. None.
All right. So, guys, this week we're changing up the show's format a little bit. So you notice we're 22 minutes into the show, probably 20 minutes after I edit out all the fart jokes, and we've got a new idea. We want to start theming the shows around a central topic. And William Miller, what is that topic?
That topic is Mega Man.
And Mega Man music, go.
All right, so generally
where I put the music.
Our topics are going to be...
That was pretty good.
Our topics are going to be drawn from the news of the week, of course. And the news that we're drawing our Mega Man topic from this week is the Mega Man Anniversary Collection is coming out for the Game Boy Advance on October 1st. That's two days.
Tomorrow. That's probably yesterday today. By the time you hear this.
That's 2 days before my birthday. Anybody out there listening, I'd, you know...
Miller at Best Damn Podcast
much.
Ever. Man. PayPal, everybody.
That's right. Capcom announced Mega Man Mania today, a classic compilation of Mega Man titles that appear on the original Game Boy in the early 90s. There'll be five different Mega Man versions, including The Offering, which features Mega Man's 1 through 5. The games can be played in their original black and white color schemes, or they can be played in all new colorized versions that were developed specifically for this compilation. So,
black and white color schemes. What Mega Man was black and white?
There were a bunch of Mega Mans on the Game Boy.
Is talking about the Game Boy Mega Mans?
The original Game Boy Mega
Mans. Oh, these are the compilation of the Game Boy Mega Mans.
Yes, and they were really hard and really fun games to play, and they've redone all the art so you can play with new, nice art.
Were they?
They were pretty hard. I remember them being pretty hard.
Now, I never played the old Game Boy Mega Mans. They were good?
Yeah, they were good. They were real good. I mean...
Because I remember seeing screenshots of it back in Nintendo Power.
Nintendo Power!
Nintendo Power! Six great issues plus six free strategy guides on a hot new game. That's twice the power for still $15. Wow, call now,
dude. I used to get Nintendo Power religiously every month. Nintendo Power is my church and my god.
And that is the quote of the show. That's going in the subtitle field.
Dude, I still have my
Nintendo
Power
is my god.
With like Mystic Quest in it. I still have the Metroid Nintendo Power.
Man. Let me tell you something about Nintendo Power. Ben Buck signed up for Nintendo Power, probably Nintendo Power episode 15. If you can believe that. 15.
Wow.
He subscribed. I think the last issue he got was like... I think they're up in the 300s now. Like, I think he got episode 302 or something was the last one he got.
Wow.
And, he tried to cancel his account one time back in the day, and Nintendo Power was like, dude, you have been with us for like 6 years. There is no way you're leaving. We're giving you like 2 years free. So that was a couple of years ago. So then he just recently tried to unsubscribe, and nobody cared. They were like, duh, okay, bye.
Dude, not only did I have the first Nintendo Power, which was the Super Mario 2.
Yeah, the claymation issue. Covers, those are awesome.
But I also had the pre-Nintendo Power magazine. Do you guys remember that one?
No.
Oh, no.
This was called the Nintendo Fun Club. They had...
Oh, yeah,
they had about six issues. I want to say the first one was... Oh, man. The first one was Zelda. The first Zelda. Or it could have been even earlier. I want to say the first one was Metroid and Kid Icarus, maybe. And it went for about six episodes. They closed down and advertised their new Nintendo Power magazine.
Oh, man.
That was the heat.
Whoa.
It was like eight pages of heat, but it was heat.
All right, so get back to the topic at hand. On this Mega Man pack, what I want to know is, it says you'll be able to play in colorized versions of the classic Mega Man games on the Game Boy. Will I be able to play in the multi-green shaded version? That's what I want.
No, you need a Super Game Boy for that, attached to your Super NES.
The spinach color scheme.
I remember when Super Game Boy came out, I thought that was like... That was it. The world was over. Super Game Boy was here. I am playing Game Boy on my TV screen, and there's a Zelda background. Over.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. All right. In other news...
But, like...
Go ahead, Justin Fick.
I totally forgot what I was going to say.
All right. Well, there are two pieces of heat for our theme this week, and there's Mega Man ZX to be released September 12th.
I could have swore ZX is already... There's so many of these... It's like every year, Mega Man letter comes out.
Okay, so a world of transformations await as Capcom today released Mega Man ZX for Nintendo DS, an original new action game that joins the Mega Man universe. A dynamic biometal system plays a central role, offering players the ability to transform into different model types, each with their own unique abilities and disadvantages. Utilizing new models presents a variety of gameplay experiences, allowing players blah, 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 blah. So, looks like you're Transformer Mega Man now.
No. We'll read this next line. In addition, there's an option to play as a male character or, for the first time ever in the Mega Man series, a female character.
All right, so...
No, look. Now it's like, cue sexist jokes, go. Yeah.
So in my youth...
Yeah, I was thinking about jokes that involved the Mega Buster being used to cook eggs or something.
All right, so in my youth, right, I played Mega Man X, like the first one on Super Nintendo, and I went through that whole game thinking that Zero was a chick. And I went through the whole second one thinking Zero was a chick. And when it finally made the connection that it was just a dude with long hair, I refuse to believe it. And still to this day, I think that Zero is a chick. I'm not gonna.
I'm not changing for you, world.
I don't believe it.
You change around me. If I want to spell xylophone with a Z, I'm gonna do it.
I'm gonna do it.
if I believe that Zero has a vagina, it will be so.
It will be. And when Mega Man X 8 came out on PlayStation and they gave him a voice, I still didn't believe it.
She's got something caught in her throat. That's all.
Exactly. I mean, whatever.
You know what? In these Japanese voiced games, anyway, they all sound like women.
Yeah. Don't even lie, listeners. There's a couple of you out there that thought the same thing. Don't even lie. Don't even lie.
You just, like, rocked two people's world just now. You're like, no,
oh my God, I am not alone!
All right, so let's talk about Mega Man. Mega Man has had a long history. Who can tell us, when did the Mega Man series get started? Who knows?
See, this is supposed to be listed on our wiki, so we can easily, like... recount the we have a new system now. We've got the wiki where we put all our news, and
so instead of a news email that no one gets, we have a wiki page that no one goes
to. Exactly.
Blam.
All right, so somebody fire up Wikipedia, because we forgot to copy this in.
All right, so all right, Mega Man is a video game developed and published by Capcom in 1987 for the Nintendo Entertainment System / Famicom. It was the first game ever to star Mega Man, also known as Rockman, in Japan. Mega Man has been through several series, and this is the first game Right? Why is grammar not correct on Wikipedia?
We had to plagiarize from smarter websites here.
The first game established many of the conventions that would define the Mega Man series. Most notably, the Mega Man established the setup of a number of stages, each with a robot master at the end, which, when defeated, would pass on its unique power to Mega Man. Later, it would be added to the Mega Man Wily Wars for the Sega Genesis, as well as the Japanese collection Rockman, the blah, 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 blah. So, he's been through a whole plethora of remakes, Mr. Man. Can we call him that?
Mr. Man.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Mega Man, it's... It's a cool series because next year it'll be coming up on its 20th anniversary.
Mega Man is a video game character and star of the main Mega Man series created by Capcom. It was created by Keiichi Inafune with the release of Mega Man Powered Up for the PSP. Mega Man's name was changed to Mega. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, that is lame.
So his
lame.
Nickname, his name is Rockman in Japan, and his popular nickname is, of course, the Blue Bomber. Does anybody even like that name?
I like the Blue Bomber.
So he's appeared on NES, SNES.
It's got a bomb in it, which is good.
He's appeared on the NES, SNES, Game Boy, Nintendo 64, GameCube, Sega Genesis, Game Gear, PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PlayStation Portable, and Xbox.
And the Sega Saturn.
Oh, and the Sega. They can't even find them all on Wikipedia. There's so many.
I dare say it. I might be stepping out on a limb.
Mega
here,
Man
I dare
has
say
been on every platform.
Except
Apple Macintosh.
Yep. No. Listen.
And Lynx. Probably wasn't on Lynx.
Apple Macintosh, Lynx, and Dreamcast.
Oh, hey, he was on Dreamcast.
Where? What?
He was?
There was a really, really... I think there was a really, really... No, okay, well, first of all, I know for a fact he was on Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Mega Man, a playable character. Booyah. And I also think there was a specific... I think like a Tron Bond. I think that one was on Dreamcast. Maybe not, though. Mm. That was a spin-off game.
Well, regardless, Mega Man has made the rounds, let's just say.
I
remember my earliest recollection.
It's a cool series.
My earliest recollection of Mega Man was that god-awful cover art. I saw that heat in Blockbuster, and I was like, there's
look a... Look down in your album art. Look at that trash.
I saw this big man... I saw this big kind of it was sort of like he was almost all blue, but he had some yellow parts that didn't appear in the actual game. And he's like policeman. I was like, oh man, there's policeman on this cover. I'm getting this game. And it turned out
I want policeman.
I just love how he was squatting like he was taking a dump.
Yeah, he's like in this squatting position and looks.
He's got that cyber pistol.
right. And then I got Mega Man 1 instead, which tore me a new orifice. Let's just say. All right, Blake Buck, you've got the master game list in front of you. Are you ready?
Okay, this is just the series now. There have been many, many different games within each of these series, but these are all the Mega Man series that have been released so far.
Oh, man.
Mega Man, which started in 1987. Mega Man X in 1993. Well, it's Mega Man, which was released in 1987, which I believe had, what, 7 games in that series, right?
Seven or eight. Oops.
Eight.
And then there was also 5 on the Game Boy. So that's what? That's 12 so far. Then they had Mega Man X, which started in 1993. That had, I believe, 7 we're up to now. So that's another...
Did they make an 8?
I think they've made an 8. I could be wrong about that, but I don't
know. So 8 plus that's 20 already we're up to. Mega Man Legends. I think there was only 1 in that series. Mega Man Battle.
Two of those.
Oh, there were 2 of those. Okay, so now we're up to 22. Mm-hmm. Mega Man Battle Network, which I know there are at least 3 of. So that would be 25.
There's 6 of those.
There are 6?
6 of those. Six.
Are you sure?
6 Battle Network.
Oh my god!
I shoot you not.
Oh!
Not only that, but each one had like 2 different varieties, kind of like Pokemon.
Yeah, there's a blue and a red one or whatever.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right. Mega Man Battle Network, Mega Man Battle Network 2, Mega Man Battle Network 3, white and blue versions, Mega Man Battle Network 4, red sun and blue moon versions, Metal Network 5, Team Proto Man / Colonel / Double Team. Oh god, and this is the best one. Mega Man Battle Network 6. I can't even read it. Mega Man Battle Network 6, Cyber Beast Gregar, and Cyber Beast Falazar.
Dude, they have totally forgone all robots, and they're full-blown Pokemon now. It's ridiculous.
And the soon-to-be-released Battle Network's Umbuntu.
I want to read about this. I want to read about this last one. Battle Network 6 is the final series in the game. In it, Lan's father gets a new job and the family moves to Cyber City, leaving behind Lan's classmates and his friends from the AC/DC town. What? This sounds so awful. Befitting his tendencies, Lan stumbles upon another dastardly scheme proposed by the WWW and Dr. Wily. This one involving the discovery and control of two legendary super programs known as Cyber Beasts. No more. No more. Oh, wow. It's too much. Good God. So you see, Mega Man has just had, and we weren't even done. Where are the rest of the series? Mega Man Zero on the Game Boy. Mega Man
You're
ZX.
You're not even done. There's Mega Man Star Zero. Force. There's four of those. Four of those.
Oh, my God. So there must be at least 50 Mega
Man
games.
Let's not forget, they also had, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, because there's a bunch that, like, either didn't get a U.S. release or are not well known. Like, they had Mega Man Soccer. Do you remember that?
Yeah, there was Mega Man Soccer. And then there's the Mega Man cartoon series in the early 90s, and then that got canceled, and recently now there's been a new Mega Man animated series called Mega Man NT Warrior, which is an anime based around the Battle Network games. There's comics and manga. Oh, my Lord.
Well, okay, so Blake Bug, this is a huge, huge franchise. Who is the man responsible for such a thing?
Well, let me tell you, William Miller, as I switch windows. His name is Keiji Inafune?
Keiji Inafune. See, I already. Why did I even ask you? I thought that was going to be a good segue, but no, you blew it.
I bungled it. Well, read that paragraph. Go.
All right. So Keiji, Keiji Inafune was a one of the really early designers for Nintendo. So he was responsible for games like Kid Icarus and Metroid and a couple other things. And so he designed all the characters for the original Mega Man franchise, as well as Street Fighter, more recently Resident Evil, and Dead Rising.
Ooh. Wait, he did. Oh, that's right, because there's all that. There's all that kind of Mega Man references in Dead Rising, right?
Right.
Dude, in Dead Rising, you can get a Mega Man costume and the Mega
Buster.
That's
right.
Oh man, yep. Awesome.
So I'm gonna plagiarize from Wikipedia here. So from Wikipedia, when it came to the design of the Rockman games, which was later changed to Mega Man, we already covered that. Keiji developed all the characters and art designs. Due to small task force, he also constructed the characters into pixel form, as well as the game's respective logo, package design, and instruction booklet. So he did everything for this game. Whoa. I bet there were like two other dudes helping him. They're giving him water when he needs it or something.
Feeding him grapes.
So
as he mastered his art.
As the Famicom was an early gaming system, that's the NES for all of you American folk. 56 pixels were available for each color extrusion. So the majority of which were blue tinted. So the Blue Bomber came out of the hardware restrictions of the Nintendo at the time. So. The designs of Keiichi's characters also went on to heavily influence Japanese animation and all this other stuff. So, really important dude, this guy. And he's still working for Capcom today and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Hats off, Mr. Inafune.
Indeed.
Indeed. And there's also a cool bit of trivia. Inafune has, you know, as mentioned, that the name Rockman comes from the game Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Right, so he
so because you know referring to each boss having its rock paper scissors esque weakness,
right?
With a literal one being in Mega Man 1, because rock actually does beat scissors. The Guts Man rock beats Cut Man.
that's my favorite man, Cut Man.
Cut Man.
All right, so let's what is the podcast's favorite master boss?
Ooh, I don't know.
I know what mine is.
I kind of like the original Wind Man. Or was he Tree Man? Was he Wind Man or Tree Man? I can't remember. He looked like a tree.
There's neither been a Tree Man nor Wind Man.
Oh, wait. There was a Tree Man or something.
There's a guy who looks like a tree.
There was Wood Man because he made an appearance in...
There's Wood Man and Plant Man.
Wood Man made an appearance in both one of the Mega Mans on the Nintendo and then also one on Game Boy.
Wood Man was 2. Plant Man, I believe, was 6.
Right. All right, so my vote
I have never seen Tree
My
Man.
My vote goes to Heat Man.
Huge man.
Heat
okay, well,
man.
I'm gonna go against conventional podcast catchphrasery. Because in reality, while Heat Man does win on the name, he is the lamest boss ever. Like, he's a lighter.
Oh, he's like a Zippo lighter. He's that big lighter. Man, what a dumb... Who came up with that, you know, boss character art? Somebody had this sheet of paper that was like, all right, here's our concept art for this boss. And then Mr., you know, Afune looked at him and he was like, good, this is what I want in the game. This lighter-looking dude.
A butane lighter.
All right, well, Justin Fick's favorite Mega Man boss ever is Metal Man. And let me elaborate on that. Not only is Metal Man my ringtone on my cell phone, which is the coolest video game song ever, Metal Man also had the most unbalanced weapon in any Mega Man game that I've ever seen. Like, the Metal Blade, not only did it have, like, a million bullets, you could shoot it in any eight directions, and it killed pretty much all the bosses in the game, including Metal Man himself, in one hit.
Wow.
Awesome.
Wow.
I love it.
Metal Man is the king of my heart.
So I remember Justin Fick, you say that you can beat this game, the first one, in under 40 minutes. Now, I don't know if I believe
okay,
that
well,
power
let,
or not.
Let me give you some background on this. What happened was, as we were when we first brought up the possibility of doing Mega Man as a theme, I was at Freeverse and we were talking, and the claim came up by, I believe, Mr. Mike Watson claimed that the first Mega Man was impossible. And of course, Justin Fick, being the master of all things tied to a video game controller, in 5 minutes on the work computer, I had the emulator, Mega Man ROM, and the Xbox 360 controller driver all banged out, and had the theme song running. So not only that, but I did like completely blow through Mega Man and beat it, not altogether. Like, I did get a game over on the last Wily stage. I was humbled, but that's only because I was getting used to the controller. And I had to put it down and then come back to it, but did beat it in under 40 minutes of playtime.
Wow. Wow. That's impressive.
So I threw down the gauntlet at the expense of work. But if you know Justin Fick,
I love
he's
how
all
they
about
paid
that.
You probably during those hours that you were playing Mega Man. All right, Justin Fick. Well, the first Mega Man might be tough. Might be one of the toughest games on the NES. But the hardest Mega Man ever has to go to Mega Man DOS.
What?
DOS?
Believe it or not, there were two Mega Man games released for DOS. In 1990, High Tech Expressions released a licensed version of Mega Man for DOS. So it was a completely different game. It wasn't a port of the old one. It had its own bosses and its own levels and all that stuff. And it was incredibly hard because the frame rate was tied to your CPU speed. So if you had a computer that was too fast, it was impossible to beat it. And if it was too slow, it was impossible to beat it. So you had to get it, you know, just the perfect speed. And then the controls were atrocious because you were doing it with a keyboard and they didn't quite figure that power out yet. But the funniest thing about this, is they released Mega Man 3 for DOS. Now, they released Mega Man 2, which was a completely new game. They skipped... Mega Man 1, completely new game, skipped 2 and went to 3. So there's Mega Man and there's Mega Man 3
I love how that
for
works.
DOS.
But now now you would think, oh well, it's a port, but it's not even a port.
No.
This is a totally new series and they just skipped a number.
Yeah, and Mega Man 3 for DOS has the same box art that Mega Man 3 for NES does, but it's a completely different game.
What?
Yep.
Sounds jank.
And it had like I remember Oil Man, and I remember Shark Man, and those were pretty hard. And William Miller owns both of these games.
I just clicked. I finally found the page that lists all the Mega Man games. Remember how we said there were going to be over 50? No, there are currently over 100 Mega Man games.
Holy shit.
There are 7 on the classics. There are 9 on the classic series. There's okay. About, like, I don't know, maybe 12 re-releases. There's on the portables, there are, oh God, like, I don't know, 12, then spinoffs, there's another 8, then mobile games, there's probably 25 mobile games. There's 3 on the PC. There's 8 in the X series. There's there's 4 re-releases of the X series. There's the 3 in the Legend series. The Battle Network series. Good God. At least 20 there.
Dude, that's what I want to do.
Zero series.
I want to make one character that's all blue that spawns 100 sequels. Blam. Justin Fix set for life.
Well, see, that's what I want to do. I want to be like, I just want to make Hello Kitty, something like that, and just license it all over the place. And like my face. I would just license my people, my face.
Buckman.
So when I was in Japan, right, it was Hello Kitty's 30th, it was Hello Kitty's 30th anniversary when I was there.
Dude, was Japan even safe?
And Hello Kitty was everywhere.
An event like that?
Dude, Japan was not safe. There. Also, there's a... Okay, so SCAD has a... The Savannah College of Art and Design, where I go to school, has a sequential art department. That's comic books. Comic book department. It's one of the few colleges that has such a thing.
Comics now, sequential art?
That's generally... Yeah, well...
Yeah, sequential art. Well,
you know, to give it... Comics. Give it credit. Sequential art covers, like, storyboarding for movies and conceptual art for film and television and then comic books. But anyway, there is a there's a professor... And I won't mention his name, but there's a professor that will dress up with some kind of Hello Kitty paraphernalia every single day, and he's a man.
Okay. I do not want to go to that college ever.
He even has a full suit that he's worn on many occasions. This man is crazy. He's, you know, a good sequential artist, but Hello Kitty's his thing, and it's a little creepy. Yeah. Anyway, it's tangential. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, at least if that's your thing, at least you know you can never get them all, you know? You will always be able to buy a new piece of Hello Kitty something.
Oh, yeah.
Or Blake Buck's face when he starts licensing that
You know,
that
I was just thinking, like, what if somebody debated my ownership of my face? Like, I'd have to go to court. I'd be like, I mailed this face to myself on this day. Look, there's a postmark right there.
You need to copyright your face. That's your most valuable asset. That's your money maker. It's your money maker.
All right, back to Mega Man. Right, so what future releases are coming up for Mega Man?
Well, there's
we already talked about that.
Well, there's
right?
The
ZX. I got some heat for you guys. All right, so favorite Mega Man game ever.
Ooh.
I got mine. All right, my favorite Mega Man game ever is, well, besides there being a chick in Mega Man X, which was pretty cool at the time.
I heard that my chick is pretty hot, too.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. My favorite one is Mega Man 5 for NES.
Five.
And the coolest thing about, yeah, Mega Man 5. Mega Man 5 had, I guess, my favorite boss, besides Heat Man. Favorite boss. And it was Gravity Man. And Gravity Man, his level was really cool because you'd go by these little gravity switcher things and the whole level would, like, the gravity would shift. So you'd be walking on the ceiling half the time, then you'd be walking on the ground half the time. And, of course, there's spikes everywhere, right? And
oh, no.
And that was good. Justin Fick, did you ever use the pause cheat in Mega Man? I think Mega Man 1 had it, and then there was... a reoccurrence of it later somewhere in the series. You ever use that cheat?
I do admit I have used it in one. There is one boss, and everyone is like, all I need to do is say there's one boss in Mega Man 1. Everyone immediately knows who it is. It's the freaking boss at the end of Wily Stage 1. It's the
yeah, that big guy.
Yeah,
yeah. It's the official name of it is Yellow Devil, I think is what he's called. And,
In Japan, it was Yellow Devil, but Nintendo had problems with there being religious references in their games. So it's called Yellow Monster or something like that in America.
Rock Monster is what they called it.
Rock Monster. Yeah.
So yeah, that was where as a child I had to use it because I wasn't able to bring the heat. But in the Freeverse Mega Man 1 challenge, the pause cheat was not used. And the Yellow Devil was
oh man,
thusly owned.
Also, there's another interesting little factoid. In Mega Man 1, when you're hit, you know how you're invulnerable for a couple seconds. You blink. If you're invulnerable, you can still die by spikes. You can fall on the spikes. You can still die. That's not true for all of the other ones after that. If you're invulnerable, you can walk on the spikes, and that's significantly increased the difficulty.
You are the biggest nerd ever.
Dude, no. In Mega Man 2,
we're talking about the invincibility time on Mega Man with spikes.
Dude, that's strategy, dude.
Yeah, because like in Mega Man 2, there are parts where if you want to pwn that
I'm getting... That's all I know.
Look, William Miller doesn't play a lot of games, but he's played him some Mega Man.
You do not get unless you can beat Mega Man 2 in 25 minutes. And to do that...
All right. Well, I don't think we can use that word. You'd have to buzzer-esh that.
But speaking of Mega
Man
2...
You don't listen to this show to get offended.
Speaking of Mega Man 2, that is Justin Fick's Mega Man of choice. Because of the existence of Metal Man. But also, like, Mega Man 2 just had, like, the best, in my opinion, the best music of all Mega Man games. And it was a game where, like, it had the normal and difficult modes, so if you wanted it to be challenged, you can. If not, you can play normal and just completely destroy the game in a half hour. I don't know, it just had cool bosses to me. Like, after 2, it sounded like they were starting to scrape the barrel as far as bosses went. Like, I have no idea how, like, that they were able to fill up so many Mega Man games. Because, like, Mega Man 3 has Top Man. Like, Mega Man 3, half the bosses, whatever they are, it's just a robot with that object on its head. I'm serious. Like, okay, look at Top Man. Is a robot with a top on his head. Magnet Man is a robot with a magnet on his head. Who else? Shadow Man had a ninja star on his head. Oh, I know
Cut
that
Man.
Had
he had scissors
one.
On his head.
Yeah, Cut Man had There's scissors Cut Man. On his head. But Mega Man 2 was inspired.
See, what?
Except for Heat Man, who was a lighter, but it was lame, but... Everyone else is awesome.
So what was the... I remember Dr. Cossack in one of these games, and
he was in
that game,
four.
I think. Yeah, it was in that game that you got the Mega Buster. Like, you could charge.
Mm-hmm. That was the first game you could charge your gun.
Yeah, that was the first game you could charge your gun.
That was huge.
That was power there. That was
huge.
Well,
of course,
my world.
Well, they balanced that by making every boss take, like, five times as many hits to kill.
Right.
Like if you didn't have the weapon that killed that boss, you were destroyed. Either that, or you had to be a pattern master, which of course I am. But
I remember back in the day when you had to match like today in games, you play like, I don't know, Shadow of the Colossus, for instance. Shadow of the Colossus, it's not pattern you're matching. It's like not. It's so much more complex now. Beating a boss or like Wind Waker or something. Mm-hmm. Back then, it was like positional timing pattern go, and
exactly.
That was boss. That was
Mega
boss.
Man, Contra, all those kinds of games.
Yeah,
Metroid.
Yeah. What is that power?
You are live in the Best Damn
Hello?
Podcast Ever. What do you think about that? Go.
What's happening, fat boy?
Not much.
You are live on the Best Damn Podcast Ever. Go.
Oh, well, I guess I'll call back. I figured you'd been
down. No, sir. No, sir. This is Ben Buck, my rather truculent brother.
Just
see how he's laughing at himself? He's crazy. He's
crazy.
I'm done with you. Don't call him. Don't call back. Don't call back. Done with that.
So, Blake Buck, you might think that truculent
means
fat.
I know what it means, but I like my meaning. Truculent means oppressive, I believe, or something.
No, it means warlike. It means you have a tendency to
be
aggressive.
But I don't like that meaning. I like fat. Truck-like.
Truculent as in truffles.
Truck-like.
As in truffles.
All right.
See, it's like we have intelligence here in the podcast. We just choose not to use it.
You guys thought you learned what the word truculent means, when in fact, you did not. All right. My favorite Mega Man game ever. You guys ready for this heat? This is an unusual choice, so you guys better be ready. Let me look at it here. I forgot the title. It's so long. Mega Man X Maverick Hunter on the PSP. Blam.
That's a remake of the Mega Man X.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice.
where my gender confusion started.
It's a remake of Mega Man X. Now, let me tell you why this is my favorite. Number one, Mega Man X is probably one of my favorite Mega Man ever, just because it took essentially Mega Man was on the NES. It was kind of dying out, you know. They didn't make the jump to Super NES as quick as most developers did. Even after the Super NES was released, they released Mega Man 7, which is one of the last games on the NES. And so Mega Man X was their first entry to, well, I guess back then, their next generation of games. And they totally took everything that made Mega Man good and revamped it and reworked it, made it totally awesome and work for a new generation of gamers. Like, I'd really not played a whole lot of Mega Man before Mega Man X. Like, I saw my brother play it, but I never really truly experienced Mega Man until Mega Man X.
That game was cool because, like, you had a character who was real weak in the beginning, and you had some dialogue and just enough story there to really show you the progression.
It was a very well-written story because you didn't need a whole lot of it to figure it out. You know, it had a good story without being too in your face with it, like 99% of all Japanese directed games are. You know,
well, it's basically just like, it just puts it into context. Like, listen, here's these bad robots. You're a wussy. You get strong, and you beat everyone up at the end. It's awesome. That's all you need to know.
And it introduced that armor system, too. You had the capsules hidden throughout the level and all that.
And there was the cool. You could get the ultimate DBZ Goku move. You guys remember that? The Hadouken, and then...
The Hadouken. I remember
that. That's Street Fighter. It's not Goku.
No, you could get it.
It's all the same to me.
Oh, it's all the same, yeah.
Dragon Ball Z, Street Fighter, Goku, DBZ, Rockstar. All right, but why did I pick the PSP version of this game, not the original? Well, like the original...
That's an interesting choice.
Just like the original, you know, sort of redefined Mega Man for a new generation of gamers, I think Mega Man Maverick Hunter X on the PSP takes the classic series and reworks it and really makes it a lot more appealing, a lot more attractive to a modern gamer in the exact same way. I mean, it brings up the graphics. They're all, even though it's the same 2D gameplay, the graphics are extremely nice looking. They're 3D. They've got, you know, it's got the difficulty. You can now set, like, multiple difficulties. It's got extra unlockables, all sorts of cool additions they brought in and really made it appealing to everybody, not just, you know, the hardcore Mega Man fan that, you know, you generally think of playing, you know, Mega Man X 8 3000 Goku edition.
Now, I really like Maverick Hunter X, except for one thing. And this is just, like, it kills me every time I play it because, like, I love the game. It's got its glitches here and there with the 3D stuff, but the one thing that kills it for me is that every time you use a special weapon, Mega Man has to scream the name of that weapon over and over again. Because Mega Man X has the Storm Tornado. You get it from Storm Eagle. It's another unbalanced weapon because it kills everything.
Tornado hold. So nicely. Tornado hold. Tornado hold.
Yeah, and you're just running through levels, and it's like you're killing them. It's like Storm Tornado, Storm Tornado, Storm Tornado, Storm Tornado. Just shut up. No, just volume off.
Look,
shut up.
Here's how you fix that. See, that was never a problem with me, Justin Fick, because instead of listening to the game's music, I generally carry around my iPod and listen to the best damn podcast ever on loop, and so I never. That's never a problem for me.
All right, so I remember getting the Hadouken. And okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but you had to go through Armor Armadillo's level 4 times, like, without getting hit.
No, it's more like 12 times.
Or is it 12? I don't remember. But then
I think it's 8.
You have to hop up the thing, and then there's an extra capsule, but you couldn't save the game with the Hadouken.
You couldn't?
You had to, like, no, you couldn't. And it would beat every boss in one hit except Sigma at the end. You had to beat him regular, but you could beat the dog.
No, it takes two Hadoukens to kill Sigma. One for the dog, and if you can hit his last form with the Hadouken, you're god.
Yeah, it was just impossible to hit him with it, right?
But I remember it's like, but by the time I got that, I had mastered that game so down cold where I was pwning everyone with a Mega Buster because I had the patterns all down, and it's like, you know, so I didn't even need the Hadouken. And not only that, like, trying to use that on the bosses just made me get hit over and over again, because a stipulation to the Hadouken is you had to have full health to use
it. Right.
So as soon as you got hit, it was all over. So here I am trying to, you know, throw this fireball like a schmo, and the dog hits me, and now my Hattican
and it's
gone.
Also
my
it's also
know,
like
the hour of my life I spent jumping into pits on Armadillo stage is now wasted.
It wasn't like a regular power up either. You had to actually do the Street Fighter move, like the down forward shoot, and it would. And it would do it. And they later elaborated on that with Zero in Mega Man X4. All of Zero's moves don't have a limit to how much you can use them, like X's moves. You do button combinations to execute them, which I thought was really cool and made playing through the game with her also as enjoyable as playing through the game with him.
Well, all right. Do we got anything else we want to add on the Mega Man topic at an hour and 3 minutes?
I think we did it pretty good justice there, Blake Buck. I think we have one user feedback.
All right, now it's time for some listener feedback. So not a lot of emails this week, guys. We got an email from some guy trying to hook us up with some new forums. I don't know. It sounded a little bit shady. What do you guys think about that guy?
He takes part in the forums, but I don't know. It sounded like to me like he was working with this other company and wanted to sell us.
Look, there's only one man who can offer us free that we don't know where it comes from. Only one man who can do that. No, not Dennis. No. This man has been hooking us up for a long time. We're still getting hooked up by this guy. That would be Christopher Munn. Thank you, Christopher
Munn.
That's
right. Thanks, Chris Munn.
If we ever do a live show again, it will be streaming from some server that he has that we don't know anything about. 4South.com is still hosted by a server that he set up for us, and we don't know who's paying for it, but it's been there for a long time. So, Chris Munn. So unless you're Chris Munn, fella... I don't know about this.
Let me explain. This guy sent us an email. He's like, hey, your forums are prone to, you know, hackers and all that junk, which is true, and spammers. He said, I can hook you guys up with the Envision power board. I'm not using it if you want to use an extra one. You know, if you want to use the one I'm not using, and I can offer you all this free stuff. But it was laid out so much like a sales pitch that I'm a little leery of it.
We'll see. If you want to come and help us install or use, I mean, I can install Envision board, but like, you know, make it better or what, you know, that's fine. But we've got our hosting set up and we've got, you know, if we're going to use Envision board, we're going to pay for it. So,
well, William Miller, you get back with that guy.
I'm going to get back with him. But,
you get back. You know, I'm putting you in charge of that.
Well, and speaking of insecure forms, I was in the forums the other day and I was.
There's like Butt Force 9 and like Big 5 and like.
Well, it's like I noticed this, like, you know, Kelly Teens and Big 5, you know, original forums. I was like, okay, well, maybe we got some hot, horny schoolgirls that want to listen to the show. It's fine. And all of a sudden, like, hot prawns start getting posted to the forums. So I had to unleash the banhammer and stifle some prawn.
See, that's what Battle Cat is for. Battle Cat, you need to get on the ball there, buddy. TBC. Take care of business.
And all right, poor Mike. Like, Mike must have been looking at this website. I'm serious, because I put the banhammer on this porn posting, and like 5 minutes later, Mike IMs me. He's like, dude, why'd you delete the big post? I'm like, oh my goodness.
Mike, my young man.
Watch
yourself. All right, finally, guys, we got a voicemail in this week. That's right. After we ask so many times, one person has called our voicemail. Okay, I'll go ahead and play it, and I'll give you the number afterwards. So here's our first voicemail, or our only voicemail.
Hi, Best Damn Podcast Ever. This is Wazoo93. I run a small lost podcast. Just want to say you guys are doing great, and I'm going to sign up in a little bit. Right now. Thanks.
Right now.
So what was that podcast? Wazoo's podcast?
I think, let me play it again.
Podcast, just want to say, Small Loss Podcast.
Small Waz?
Small Loss Podcast. I run a Small Loss Podcast.
I don't know what he said. You're going to have to speak up.
Wazoo, if you want to come on the show or send us an email with your podcast address, we will be glad to plug it for you, along with anybody else out there who has podcasts. You know, if you listen to the show and you want to,
I mean, because
you can even submit promos or whatever.
I mean, if we mention you on the show, the spike you would get from our millions of listeners would be unfathomable.
You better make sure your servers are ready.
Fire up that backup server.
Oh, so if you want to call into our listener line, that number, William Miller? That number, Justin Fick? It would be 845-BATTLE-9.
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 This number has changed so many times that it's just...
What is battle? We don't know anymore.
Yeah, we don't, battle we don't know is what you're doing. People come to us and ask for this battle music. We don't know what you're talking about. Battle music. We don't know what that is.
As for the live show, guys, we're planning on kind of downscaling the live show. As you can tell, there's no battle anymore. Maybe once a month or so, we're going to have a big show, try and get a guest together, maybe take some call-ins on the listener line and do a live show every once in a while. So we figure if we plan a big event once a month, more people will come than just when we do it every week and we hear the same three people over and over again. Looking at you, Mike.
And by three people, we mean one person. Oh, so speaking of unfathomable heat, Blake Buck checked the AdSense account today, and we've made no money with our ads in like a month.
It's so true. It's a depressing state. We have gotten no clicks in a month.
Justin Fick's been moving around, and Blake Buck's dumb, and I've been moving around, and you know we're gonna start heating it back up on the site. And,
by the time
and
you guys
that,
hear
so.
This, the site will be in a renaissance.
A renaissance of heat.
Yeah. You might even call it a heatissance,
if you will.
Wow, we are lame as shit. All right, so Mom is here with the best damn podcast ever. I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick.
And we will see you next time.